Welcome to episode 35 of Practical Defense, Identity Theft. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. This week, our topic is identity theft. Now, according to the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, and don't ask me why the FTC is responsible for these things, but according to the FTC, around 9 million people in the U.S. have their identities stolen. This is serious business that can harm you in many ways. Now, in this episode, we'll go over just what ID theft is, you know, how it's defined, how these criminals do it, and then steps you can take to protect yourself. But first, we have our weekly tip from Kristen at kristensguide.com. Keeping your family calendar updated with everyone's schedule and responsibilities will reduce potentially dangerous situations for your kids, like accidentally forgetting to pick up your kids from soccer practice because you thought it was your spouse's turn to do it today. Sound familiar? Well, Kristen's Guide offers various printable calendars, and you can find them at kristensguide.com. And we'll be right back with our investigation into identity theft. My family has far too much personal experience with identity theft. My mother's identity was stolen back in the 80s when people had no conception of it. These are two things inconceivable by most of today's basic security standards. Now get this. When school grades were posted, they were really posted, as in a typed sheet and taped to your professor's door in the hallway. Now to keep your name private, they used to use your student number, which was your social security number. It was right there, the entire class's social security number. Heck, every student in the school had their social security number posted at the end of every term. And this is high school as well as college. Now, through the mid-90s, every credit card receipt had your entire credit card number printed on it, including automated gas pumps. So if the person used the pump before you forgot to collect their receipt, you could just hit the print button and you'd get the receipt. And you'd get their full name and credit card number. Or even better, you could just check out the trash can next to the pump and pull out about 5 complete receipts with every handful of stuff. So when my mother, who was a nurse educator, was speaking at a conference, it wasn't a huge surprise that when they listed her on the sign-in sheet, they had their social security number right there next to her name. I mean, they had her social security number because she was a paid speaker, but why it had to be so public was really kind of beyond me. But anyway, now for those who live outside the United States, the Social Security number is your federal tax identification number. Your entire life, personal and financial, is tied to that number. All of your bank accounts, your tax records, your military record, your home, everything is tied to that number. You're supposed to guard it and only share it with secure institutions. Yeah, right, I know, but that's what they say it's supposed to be. So after this conference, my mother started getting credit cards and phones and other bills tied to her. You know, the police at that time had no idea what was going on and couldn't do squat. Identity theft was inconceivable. It was the stuff of science fiction. Today, she still receives bills in her name. We call the institutions and the police, but as soon as they hear that the case has been going on for nearly 30 years, they just shrug their shoulders and say, yeah, well, we'll look into it. What the hell? For goodness sake, she received one 3 years ago that was a residential phone bill. They couldn't send a car to the address it was tied to? It was printed right there on the paper. Do they need me to draw a map in addition to providing the address? The running family joke is that she'll be making purchases and collecting Social Security benefits after she's dead. Anyway, I digress. The point is, identity theft is bad news. It's really hard to get out from under. You know, once your name and numbers are in circulation, you're hosed. It's time to close bank accounts, cancel credit card numbers, change phone numbers, and pray that you can restore your credit rating. But if they get your social security number, like my mother, you're royally up a creek. Now, my sister just had her ID stolen just a few weeks ago. Apparently, if it's a new incident, they take it seriously and they jump right on it. Someone got a hold of my sister's ATM card and number and PIN and used it to withdraw about $1,700 over a couple of days. They made purchases with it, bought gas, and withdrew cash from ATMs. Now, she found out about all this because the bank called her reporting suspicious activity. Now, the money will be returned to her by the bank, and the police came by her house to collect a report and a complaint. But here's the thing. She still had the card in her possession and has never told anybody her PIN. They somehow got her number, applied it to a blank card, and then went on a spree. Now, we'll cover just how they might have done that when I go over the various methods employed by these thieves in just a few minutes. So first, how do you define identity theft? Identity theft is any time someone impersonates you to commit fraud or any other crime, and they do it by stealing your personal information. Now here's the really scary part. Even if you take every precaution, you shred every piece of paper that comes into your home, you're not covered. There are many, many businesses and institutions that hold your personal information. Your bank, your credit card company, your department store, your grocery store, if you have one of their membership cards, your hospital, your insurance company, your health insurance, home insurance, car insurance, your employer, your accountant, your tax preparer, your city and state and federal government all have files on you that outline huge portions of your life. If any of them screw up and let your personal information out, it can cause you serious harm. Now, I've personally been a victim of this. In May 2006, an employee of the West Los Angeles Veterans Administration Hospital took his laptop home. On his laptop, he had a database of nearly 26.5 million, with an M, million veterans. Now, this database included names, social security numbers, and dates of birth. Now, why he had a copy of this database on his local and transportable computer was never explained, but it was said to be done outside of established protocols. You think? Then, as luck would have it, this guy's home was broken into and his laptop was stolen.
Oops.
Yeah. There was a huge national investigation into the incident, and the laptop was eventually recovered about 2 weeks later. They said the data hadn't been accessed, but I am not certain of this. There are many ways of copying data without leaving a trace in the access logs of the database. Now, just for example, you could image the entire drive and then access the data on a totally separate machine. This wouldn't leave a mark in the original database. Anyway, I digress again. The point is, this freaking idiot, this one guy, this moron, put 26.5 million veterans at risk from identity theft. Guess what? I was in the database. My father was in that database. My mother was in that database. We all received letters from the Secretary of Veterans Affairs letting us know that we were included in the stolen database. One guy screwed 26.5 million people. This is why some security experts believe that protecting your identity is impossible. There are just way too many ways of accessing your personal data, and it's impossible to plug all of them because so many of them are completely out of your control. All it takes is one moron to leave the door open for everyone behind the wall to suffer. I know it sounds like nothing but doom and gloom, but there are steps you can take to put up as many barriers as possible. And remember that we're about becoming hard targets. It's folly to believe that you can completely shield yourself from any attack, but what you can do is put up as many barriers as possible so that the criminals will move on to someone else rather than try and come after you. So first, we'll explore how they can get your information, and then we'll look at steps to protect yourself against those moves. So how do they steal your identity? One method is called dumpster diving. And it's called dumpster diving because back in the day, it was a way that hackers used to steal information to hack into banks and corporations. They would wait until after hours and after the cleaning crews had dumped all the trashes into big dumpsters, and then they'd jump in and dig through all of the paperwork for looking for clues and data and code. This is one of the oldest ways to find out information about someone, and it's still effective. Private investigators, criminal investigators, paparazzi, investigative reporters, police forensics, and criminals themselves all use this method of information gathering on individuals. And it can be used in corporate espionage. Trash can be an information goldmine from that one incriminating memo, customer profiles, research white papers, meeting notes, or sketches and diagrams made during a brainstorming session. Your trash can say a lot about you, your company, your research, and your customers. So before you throw anything away, look at it and ask yourself how this scrap of paper could be used against you. If it has your name and a barcode or an account number, it must be shredded before it goes in the trash. Some people say, well, I tear up every single piece of paper before I throw it away. That's good enough. No, it's not. You tear it up into what? 4 pieces? Perhaps you're really thorough and you do 8 pieces. Those are still large chunks. Even a 5-year-old's toy puzzle has 20 pieces in it. And then what do? You put all of those pieces in the same big plastic bag And then you put the big plastic bag in a nice bin, and then you put the bin on the street outside your home for anyone to come by and pick up. That is no security. Shred everything. It's the only way to be secure. So let's talk about shredders. You want to use a cross-cut shredder, and only a cross-cut shredder. A standard shredder just cuts the papers into thin strips. A cross-cut shredder chops the paper up in about 2-centimeter bits. This makes a huge difference. The thin strips can be taped back together easily. The 2-centimeter bits are nearly impossible to put together again. Now, I say nearly impossible, not totally impossible. But you really have to want the information to reconstruct something that's been cross-cut, and a single page could take days. Here's a real-world example that made national news here in the U.S. last year. A small community bank, per policy, shredded everything that left the bank. And that's great. Then they sold or gave away the shreddings to a recycling company. That's also nice. The recycling company used or sold the shreddings as packing materials. So when you ordered DVDs, plates, or tea, or whatever, the packing material could be the paper shredded from this bank. Go environment, right? Well, good for the environment, but bad for the bank's customers. The bank did not use a cross-cut shredder. So what eventually happened is that when a mother and a daughter received a package in the mail, it contained this bank's shreddings as the packing material. The daughter noticed that some of the pieces looked like old checks. So she and her mother sat down with a strip of tape and reconstructed entire documents, bank statements, and about 20 to 30 canceled checks with full addresses, account numbers, and signatures from just the packing the material that they received. They treated it like a puzzle. When they discovered what they could do, they called the bank and called a local news outlet, and the story finally hit CNN, which is where I saw it. So what turned out to be a nice environmental policy was a poorly executed security policy for the bank and all of its customers. Did I mention you should shred everything using a cross-cut shredder? Shred everything with a cross-cut shredder. Another method of collecting your data is called skimming. Now, this is when some high-tech thieves construct devices to intercept your card number and PIN number as it's being used. These are devices that attach to the front of ATMs or monitor unsecured Wi-Fi connections from cash registers. You can walk up to an ATM, slide your card, enter your PIN, get cash, and walk away, never knowing that your information was intercepted and recorded. Then, a week or so or a month later, they use the information. And this is probably what happened to my sister and her ATM card. I've even heard of cases where entirely fake ATMs were set up, and they even dispensed small amounts of cash just to collect the card numbers and PIN codes. This type of thing is really hard to protect against. What I do is avoid small or independent ATM machines altogether. I only use ATM machines inside secure buildings that have lots of traffic and cameras around recording. I don't use ATM machines at gas stations, malls, convenience stores, or anything on a public street. Also, I don't use my ATM card to purchase anything. Nothing is paid with the ATM card. I use cash or a credit card. Your ATM card is linked directly to your bank account, and that has always bothered me. When you go to your bank and they want to identify you, what do they ask? They ask you to swipe your ATM card and input your PIN. If a criminal has that, they can ask for statements, a cashier's check, or even empty out the account and close it. I guard my ATM card more closely than any credit card. I consider my credit card disposable and ask for a new number at least every 18 months or so, or whenever I use it outside of the country. Now, the underlying theme, and this goes for any type of situation, is that security and convenience are opposites. You can't have perfect security and perfect convenience. They're diametrically opposed. The more convenient something is, the less secure it is. And this applies to personal security as well as computer security. The higher the security, the more a pain it is to use. Whenever I hear it's easy and it's painless, my first thought is, then it isn't secure. The trick is to make whatever you're building secure enough without making it unusable. Paying for things with your ATM card is easy, but it is less secure than using a credit card that isn't tied directly to your bank accounts. Remember, being a hard target is about putting up as many barriers as possible. Layers of insulation are your friend. The next big method of stealing your identity is called phishing, and phishing is spelled with a PH. This is another old hacker method where the criminal sends you an email asking you to verify your security settings by sending them your username and password or by directing you to a website to fill out a form. Now, recent phishing scams are really sophisticated. The emails look authentic, and the website they direct you to looks identical to the real thing. Now, the giveaway is the URL, which is the website address. The basic rule is that unless the web address ends with a company name, it isn't real. Now, for example, Citibank addresses end in citibank.com. Washington Mutual ends in wamu.com. Bank of America ends in bofa.com. Now, it's a much longer discussion that I can go into in this podcast, but the way the internet works is that you can set up any number of servers on any domain. To put it the simplest way, the domain name is the last word in the address. So just because the site has Citibank in the name doesn't mean that it's a Citibank site. Now, for example, I could set up citibank.secure.server.stealmyidentity.com and make it look like the Citibank website. The domain is actually stealmyidentity.com, but if it looks like Citibank site and the Citibank is somewhere in the URL, many people will fall for it. So always pay close attention to the final word, the actual domain name, before you log into any website. Now, PayPal is another big target for this type of attack. There are tons of messages sent out claiming to be PayPal, and they read something like, "There's a security breach in your PayPal account. Click the following link and update your account information, or your account will be locked and closed." The other rule is never, and I repeat, never click on links from emails, especially ones claiming to be from financial institutions. Always type in the address by hand or load it from your personal bookmark. The link in an email may say one thing, but direct you to a completely different site, or even install some nasty programs. There are still many other methods that criminals use to steal your identity, but the last one I'll cover is your personal mail. We're talking physical snail mail. We start off by talking about outbound information, the stuff you put in your trash. But criminals can also steal your inbound information as well. And they can do this by going through your mailbox before you get home, or even by completing a change of address form and filling it out and filing it with the post office. Now, anyone who has moved has filled out one of these forms. It's so that the post office will redirect your mail from your old address to your new address while all the companies you do business with update their records. This is so you won't miss any bills or letters from grandma. But criminals use this same form to redirect your mail so they can steal it. They can get your bank statements, credit cards, paychecks, and everything else delivered right to them. You have no idea what's going on, and then one day, your mail stops arriving, and it takes you a while to track down why your mail is missing, and then you need to correct it. Meanwhile, the crooks are getting all of your stuff. So keep a close eye on your bank statements, your credit card bill, and credit report. I balance my accounts down to the penny every month. I mean, literally, every penny is accounted for. I got into the habit of doing this years ago when I didn't have many pennies, and I keep up the practice nowadays because it's good for security. If you can account for everything, then nothing's missing or out of place. Also, there are tons of credit monitoring services that charge various amounts for keeping an eye on your credit scores, and they're supposed to alert you when new accounts are created that are tied to your Social Security number. I use one, but I'm going to cancel it and switch to another company. I opened up 4 new bank accounts and closed another, and this service didn't alert me to squat, so I'm not happy with them. So don't always believe the marketing. Try them out, test them out, and then make a decision. As I always say, nothing is 100%. You just have to do the best you can with what you have. Hope for the best and plan for the worst. I'll put some links in the show notes to a few sites that have more information on identity theft, and be certain to stop by and check them out. So, in summary, here are some notes on protecting your identity. Shred everything and anything with your name and account number on it in a cross-cut shredder. Avoid ATMs in unsecured areas. Only use ATMs in well-lit, monitored areas from recognizable institutions. Avoid using your ATM card to make purchases. Use cash or a credit card. Treat every email alert with extreme skepticism. Never, ever, never, ever click on links received in email messages. Log into secure sites from a personal bookmark or type the address in by hand. And review your bills and bank statements every month for suspicious activity. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, Stay aware and stay safe. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.